are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at Lighthouse Chapel International Memphis by Reverend Kodra Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
With your people singing praises, I love to stand and rejoice. Lift my hands,
Lord. Father, we bless your name. We welcome you. Father, it's even wrong to welcome you. We are guests. You are the host. Today we say, as you've always done, be enthroned in our praise. Great opportunity we have to interact with you. Your word says, blessed is the man who shall eat bread in your kingdom. This morning we come to eat bread. The bread of life, the bread of your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We neutralize and mute and cancel out and bind every work of Satan. We ask, let your word have free course. Bring salvation, healing, deliverance, answers, solutions, and every good thing to bear as your word comes. Take control, Holy Spirit. Let your anointing flow in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Shake, give somebody a high five. Three people a high five. Tell somebody you are in a good place. Doing the right thing with the right thing. We're the right people serving the right God. Wow. Come on. Come on. Oh, you can hug three more people. Smile. Tell somebody, I'm happy to be sitting by. You are my brother. You are my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. When we walking side by side, as long as there is, we will. You are my brother, you are my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Tell somebody, if love is what you're asking, we have it here, we have it. As long as there is love, we will stand. And since there is love, you are standing already in Jesus' name. Tell somebody, I love you and you can't do anything about it. I love you very much with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. Hey! And give the Lord a shout of hallelujah in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for liberty. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Please be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. I am so excited. Tell somebody, we want to go straight into the word. We have been sharing about, We have been sharing about, humility and pride. And I think it's been such a blessing. The how-to. We talked about pride. And let's open our Bibles to James chapter 4. From verse number 6. James chapter 4, verse number 6 through 10. Bible says, but he, God, giveth more grace. How many want the grace of God to be brought to bear on your life? He gives more. He gives more. Grace means undeserved favor. Grace means supernatural help of God. Grace means unexplainable assistance. Last week I told you somebody was writing an exam and, one of the exams, he got 54%. And, when you get 54, it's almost like a fail out of a number of tests. And it was like, oh, it's not going to work. Then as the exams, the semester was getting to an end, the guy, the lecturer just calls the guy and says, you know what? I know you've struggled. You've done well in the others. This one has brought you down. But let me tell you something. When we put everything together, you're not likely to make anything better than a C. And that will not make it for you. You will not make it. You will not qualify for the next class if that happens. And then the guy pulls him and says, if you make an A in this last test, you have a B. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Although, all together, even if you made 100% in the rest of the test, you wouldn't make a B. But, that's grace. You didn't deserve it. When that grade comes, you yourself, you know that it's not your work rate. But this is the kind of thing that the Lord says he gives more of it. He gives more of it. He gives more grace. Grace is what would make a person like me who was raised in a nightclub, who not just, you watch, some of you watch pornography. I did not watch pornography. I did not. Let it sink in before I tell you what I did. Many of you, when I say I did not watch pornography, you are thinking, okay, he's very, very good boy, righteous. He's not dirty like the pornographers. These days, pornographers, we have photographers and pornographers. Depending on what you want. I did not watch pornography. No. It was too low for me. Hey. Yeah.
Too low.
Life. That which you can touch.
Hey.
That you can speak to.
Hey.
Life. I could touch them like that in the nightclub. That's how terrible. That, when you see the kind of history that I have, you will say that even a deacon in the church, even, let's say, a cleaner, an usher, you won't qualify. The way you have lived, you won't qualify. But then the one who gives more grace takes me from the deeper things like the touchable screen, the touchable Rafi, whatever Rafi you put it. It's not porn, it's not whatever. And then lifts me and puts me behind the pulpit. And although you knew I was coming to preach, you dress up and you come and sit and you listen and you expect good things. It's called grace. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's called grace. Yeah. It's the grace of God that brings salvation, that made an appearance. And that grace appears a lot when it comes to dealing with God. Everything that we do, almost, you cannot earn it. Because the Bible says, there is none righteous. No, not one. And what it takes to access God is righteousness. Yeah, that reality. I mean, generally, empirically speaking, if we're to go to real life, and the only thing that has made it possible for us to access God, you and I, some of us, even last night, it wasn't easy. Yet the blood of Jesus Christ has made that thing possible. That's the reason why you qualify to cross these doors and to listen when the Father is speaking by his Spirit. That's the truth. And so today I just want you to know that God has a way of giving more grace. More grace. More grace. You see? So that is why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, that come boldly to the throne. Is a throne of righteousness, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's throne of grace. So access, you come to the throne, you are coming to, like, you know, White House, before you go there, they have to run background check for 6 months.
6 months.
So, yeah, we tried to go as medical doctor. It didn't work. 6 months, check up and recheck before. But that is how important they feel that the White House is. Can you imagine the King of Kings? Can you imagine the King of Kings? It takes a lot to access. But Bible says that let us come boldly. I can't walk boldly into the White House. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. The only reason is because the throne is the throne of grace. Undeserved people, people who don't deserve it, are the ones that access. In fact, people who think they deserve it, they don't access it. Yeah, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, forgiveness, mercy. Tell somebody, when I'm coming to prayer, I'm coming to the throne of grace. When I'm coming to church, I'm coming to the throne of grace. Don't look at me that way and judge me because I said I was raised in a nightclub. Now when I come and shake your hand, I say, this one, he has touched some things, so he can't touch now. I have been to the throne of grace, and I was not killed. Yeah. Me, your throne is the throne of judgment and righteousness, but the throne I know is the throne of grace. That we may, when we get there, what we get is not rewards. We get mercy. We may obtain mercy. When you get to God, what you receive, if you pray and a prayer is answered, it's mercy God is showing you. You're not being rewarded for anything. If it was rewards, you wouldn't get anything. It's mercy. It's just the mercy of the Lord. By his mercies, we are not consumed. Otherwise, consumption is what we deserve. I'm telling you, you and I, we deserve consumption. When the rapture comes, it's a fire. But because of mercy, we will to obtain mercy and find grace. To find means it's something that is not common. I'm going to find some money. Hey, it's not easy to find money unless you're a thief. Even stealing is hard work. Recently, I realized that, begging for money is a lot of hard work. Yeah. When I see people standing out there 100 degrees, my first thing I do is to draw my wallet. This guy deserves more money than me working inside the air conditioner. I am. And nobody should give a beggar a coin anymore. Yeah. When you see a beggar, believe me, give a good note. Give some $20 note. Give some $10. Give some $50. Bible says, by this, many have entertained angels unawares. They need the $20 more than you do. Look at what they're doing. And please, don't start talking about, maybe this guy is tricking me. Maybe this guy is, you need to drink alcohol. You get the blessing. If God started saying, maybe when I answer your prayer, you will not come again. Some of us, the only reason why we come to God is because of problems. If he starts saying, maybe you won't get anything. You won't get. It's grace. Grace. It's grace. It is grace. So ladies and gentlemen, so he giveth more grace. The question is, therefore, how do we access this grace? Since he seemed to be, that is the modum operandum, mode of operation of God. He operates by grace. And he has a lot of it. And we need it. You need, you can't get rewards. You can only get mercy and grace. No rewards. Rewards we get in heaven when the blood has done its work, accessed us into heaven, and then the crown starts flowing. Amen. So he said he giveth more of such things. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Ladies and gentlemen, access to the throne is access to the throne of grace. People that get that access and obtain what God brings supernaturally are the people that tap by grace. And the grace comes by humility. He giveth grace unto the humble. Not the proud, he resists you. So sometimes when you are proud, and for example, because that you lose your job and you go and pray to God, your pride, when you start binding demons, you are binding God. Because God is the one who made you lose that job. Yeah, no. He's resisting you. I'm telling you. He resists the proud. So if somebody is the reason why my pride is the reason why God resists. Because, for example, divorce is pride. Pride. Losing jobs is pride. I mean, when people walk out. So you go and pray. It is just God you are resisting. You are binding God. And if you bind God, it's not going to work. Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let me tell you what it also means. If God be against you, who can be for you? If God resists you, who can reinforce you? So this topic of grace is very powerful. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And the vehicle that channels us to grace is humility. Yeah. He resists the proud, but he grants grace to the humble. If you don't have humility, you are deficient in grace. And I'm sorry, the throne is not accessible to you easily. It's a throne of grace. We don't come with pride. It's the truth. Let me tell you a story that will shock you in the book of Matthew. You know, that story of the guy who thought he was very justified. What is it? It's Matthew, eh? Matthew chapter... Let me just... I think in Matthew chapter 12 or so. Let's check Matthew chapter 12 from verse 15. You know, No. That you know the story I'm talking about? Okay, it's Luke 18 now. Okay, Luke 18, yeah, from verse 9. Let's read. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Hey! Trusted in themselves. Some of us, we trust in ourselves. I'm good. That's why I don't like that. I'm good. That response. You're good. You're too good. How are you? I'm good. Bible says there's none good. There's none righteous. Jesus Christ said, don't call any man good, but one. That's the Father. See, I understand. Don't get me wrong. I get it. It's a greeting. You see that? I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, it's a greeting. So it's like good morning, you know. One day I met somebody in the elevator in New York, and I said, good morning, just as a routine. Person looked me up and down and said, what is good about this morning? What is good about this morning? That was the last time I greeted a stranger in New York. That's why I relocated to Memphis. There's more personable. So he spoke this parable to some proud people think of themselves, trust in themselves. Look, there is nothing wrong with having the confidence that you can do something. But as you're having the confidence, realize that there is something that gives you the ability. That's all. Yeah. If I can pass this exam, it's a truth that I can pass the exam. But it's by the grace of God. I must add, it's proud speaking to just say it's me. I mean, I'm that good. I'm good. See, because something hasn't happened before. Or on your way to the exam, you haven't seen somebody fall to the ground and die before. Or somebody who is so good in the exam. Somebody, one of my friends, he woke up to go and write a math exam. And then only realized that when he got there at 12, the exam was at 9. Whether it was true or not, we don't know. Mercy. And he was best. His best subject was mathematics. Best subject. He got the person is in this church. He's right here. He's a pastor. Hey! He's the shortest pastor in the whole. He traveled here this time. He's here. He doesn't natively. He traveled. He's here. He's short. He wears spectacles. Clap for the Lord Jesus. He trusted in himself concerning mathematics. He got there at 12. The exam was 9 o'clock. It was over. It was over. So Jesus said he's speaking to those who trust in themselves. That they were righteous and they despised others. Those are the people. New King James. He was speaking to certain who were right, felt they were righteous and despised others. Proud people. It says two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Prayed with himself. Some people pray with yourself. Prayed with himself saying, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Other men who are extortionists, unjust, adulterous, or even like this short tax collector. That's how he prayed. He prayed with himself. You know, when you pray with yourself, it's like you pitch using your righteousness. Lord, you know how good I am, you know. You know, I'm the preacher of this church, you know. I'm the most senior. I've been born again for a long time, you know. You know, for about 6 months now, I have not touched any woman, you know. You know. Lord, you know, like when it comes to lying, you know, I'm not that type. All these people who drink, I don't drink. I only go juice. Even the juice, when it's fermented, I don't do anything with it. I'm good like that. He prayed with himself. You see, when you pray, you don't pray. There's a reason why when we pray, the Lord says when you pray, say in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus. As a bridge, because when you go, pray with yourself. Instead of saying in the name of Jesus, I say in the name of Reverend Nee. Hey, I'm finished. What access is he giving? What grace can he bring? What blood has he shed? What qualification does he have to give to me? And if Reverend Nee cannot, how about me me. He didn't was not raised in a nightclub. The only thing he's done is pornography. But I have touched. I didn't finish saying it, so don't go and write it. I don't know. He did screen, but I touched. So to pitch with myself and to say, Lord, as I come, I deserve this. You know how I have really worked. You know how I've stopped watching porn. Even I used to touch. Now I don't even look. I'm good like that. How come? Those of you who say, Lord, why me? That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. You're praying with yourself. Why me? It's like the others deserve it, but why me? Why me? I'm too good. Yeah, it shouldn't be happening to me. It shouldn't be happening to me. Jesus said he's talking to those who are righteous in their own eyes and despise others and trust in themselves. They pray with themselves. Yeah, some of us are confident like that. You'll be shocked. Yeah. You see, when you see people who are quiet, it's not like it's not a sign of that they are humble. I speak boldly, it means I'm proud. When they check the humility scale, you may be shocked that the quiet ones, is the reason is that they don't think you're even worth their words. So when you see somebody who's bold and who talks a lot, he's too proud. He's just saying, you're joking. You're joking. It's a human standard. I'll tell you who a humble person is. He's not like that. Bible says he's an adulterer. He's an adulterer, extortioner, unjust, even like this tax collector. And then verse 12 says, I fast twice a week. Hey, now you're fasting. That's why you're not coming anymore to the throne of grace. You are coming to the throne of rewards. Yeah, I've worked, so give me my pay, my due. I deserve it. I fast twice a week. How many people fast twice a week here? Now you can't even lift your... Now you're adding lies to... You're praying with yourself too. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, you see, some of you who don't pay tithes, I say, Now God says if you do... even the people who pay tithes are too proud. Shame. Now your pride is now coming... Now you are adding dishonoring of God to the pride. And now you are using, I don't pay tithes to judge the tithe payers. Oh, look at you. I give tithes of all that I possess. Verse 13, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes even to heaven. I'm too ashamed to even look God eye to eye. Usually when you feel guilty and you feel, look, I'm wrong. I'm not anybody. You can't look eye to eye. You know, you're not bold to look. You're talking to mommy. I did it again. Not Jesus did it again that type. I did it again. Yeah, you can't look. Yeah, eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast, saying, look at me again. Has it happened to you where you said something? Sometimes when I finish preaching, Monday mornings are reviews that the Holy Spirit does with me. I wake up in the morning. The Lord almost plays the whole message. Yeah. And if there's a line that I used that was inappropriate, it's so painful. I can hit myself. Controlling, say, you again. Oh, the Lord sent you to preach. You spoiled the message. Look at what you said. And it's on podcast. One day I said something here that somebody, I called the phone, the person tell, I kept calling, the person, what do you want? Say, do you like this? And I said it. That thing pained me too much. Yeah, you remember what I said, right? Yeah. So you're also judging me. Hey, church members. The church member told me, is it me you want? Is it what about me do you want? Yeah, is that what you want? And mentioned it. It wasn't easy. I said, erase it. Amen. Beat his bread. He said, God, the guy, that Republican, he said, that tax collector, he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And listen to what he said. King James said what? King James says he's a what? He's a King James. Put King James. And then he hit his breast saying, he said, and the publican, the Republican, yeah. He smote his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can you pray that prayer? Just be merciful to me. Listen to the results. The results are in. Voting has closed. Counting has finished. Results are in. I tell you, Jesus says, I tell you, this man, this Republican, went down to his house justified. Justified. Rather than the other, the Pharisee Democrat. For everyone... Look, we are in church. No Russian meddling. This one, there's no Russian meddling. Real. Putin has done nothing. So I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. So it's very dangerous to exalt yourself. Jesus is speaking. Yeah. So we've been sharing about how. So if you know that the humble are the ones who are exalted, who have the grace, the question is, how can I be humble? How to be humble? So we choose how to be humble. So that's the whole idea. How, the whole idea. How? It's not enough to know humility brings abasement. Pride brings abasement. But to know how to. It's not enough to go to medical school and finish. It's practically, you know, when you finish medical school, for example, you may have done 6 years, but they give you another 3 years to do residency. In that, you operate under a real doctor. You're not a real doctor. You finish the exam, you have knowledge, you don't have wisdom. Bible says wisdom is profitable to direct. Yeah. Bible says wisdom is a principal thing. Proverbs 4:7 is a principal thing. In all you're getting, get wisdom. Yea, get understanding. All right, so it's not enough to have information. This is information. But how do we apply it? Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge for desired results. Desirable results. You see, that's why wisdom is justified not by knowledge, but by its children, by her children, by the fruit, by the results of it. So how do we get results? How do we become humble? How do we humble ourselves? Humility, you don't pray for humility. You humble yourself. That's what Jesus said. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. From verse 1. Give me the amplified version, please. At that time, the disciples came up and asked Jesus, who then is really the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child. Mind you, it's not just a child, but a little child. Child and little. That's double minor, double negative. Little child to himself. And, you know, give me one of the little children. And put him in the midst of them. Then verse 3. And he said, truly I say to you, somebody who walks, unless you repent, or you change, or you turn about. Listen carefully. Unless you repent, change, or turn about, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. It's not my words. It's the words of Jesus Christ. Unless you repent. Repent means change. Be transformed. Turn about. Turn around. And become. Become something you were not before. Become like little children. Look, Randy, come. How can this man become like a little children? Like a little children. How?
With the cross.
Little children, they crawl. Crawl, crawl. Crawl. See? Cry. Little children, they cry. They go to mommy. Go to your mommy over there. Go and ask for food. Ask for milk. come back. You are going for breast milk. Go away. That's the wife. That's why I sent him there. See? Look at this. Look at this. This little child. Look at that. She came. She was held. She doesn't know what it is. She's not asking, why are you taking me from my class? Why are you taking me? Who wants me? What's the matter? What have I done? That would have been you. That would have been you. Why are they calling me? Why do they want me to put her in the center here? Come. I'm my service. What? Bring. Come. Ah, how nice. Give me five. Wow. Go bring me a bottle of water from there. Get one bottle of water. Okay, Ivana. Ivana, get me that bottle. Get me one bottle from there. Give me the water. Take the water and bring it to me. Thank you. Bring it to me, please. Wow. Thank you so much, Ivana. God bless you. Ivana, come. Sit right here with me. Sit. Ivanka. Okay. Ivanka, sit down. Okay, sit down. Ivanka, sit down. Sit down, okay? Sit down. Why are they collecting me? You see my wife? Why are you showing her something? But she hasn't said anything. My wife is sitting here. Why am I pulling, showing her thigh? See something, though. Something is happening. Yay! It's enough. I think you can. You see something? See, the pride is happening on somebody already. Transferring the pride. Why are they showing my tie? Why are they lifting my, transferring it? Even when somebody is not saying, that's how we start quarrels. You have not seen, the person didn't greet you. Somebody's pride has now brought. In fact, you can go. You can go. Lift her up. She needs some help. Carry her. In fact, give her a drink for me. Give her that drink. Clap for the Lord Jesus. She's smiling. Grace has happened to her. She never bought, but she's carrying. She didn't come with any drink, but she's going with a drink. You who won't sit here, you never got a drink. Grace has happened to her because of her humility. Unless you change and become like this little child, trusting. She trusted. They say, I should come. No questions, I'll come. Trusting. Lowly. No, condescending. I'm not too big to be called into a service and in the middle to be told, sit down, and for me to be tacking, that adjusting my skirt. I'm not too big. Loving. Bring me water, I'll take it. Send me, I'll go. Forgiving. I have pulled her this, but she has no offense. She's not going to leave the church. I'm can I show you? Forgiving. Unless you cannot enter into the kingdom. Verse 4 says, whoever will humble himself, do it yourself, DIY. Whoever shall humble himself, therefore, and become like this little child, that child that is trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You want to see people who are great in the kingdom? Look for humble people. You want to join the great in the kingdom? Make yourself humble. Therefore, last week I shared with you a number of things that the reason why humility. And one of them is that because pride is an abomination to God. And because God resists the proud. And because pride essentially is demonic. We read in Job chapter 42, verse 34, that everyone who is a child of, is proud, is actually, you are now a child, part of the children of Leviathan. That's Satan. Yeah. The king, he's the king of all children of pride. Bible says he's a king. So you just give up authority of your life to the devil. It's in the Bible. See, beholds the king. Give me King James. He says what? Uh-huh. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all children of pride. That's Leviathan from verse 1. They described him. That's one of the names of Satan. Proud people, you bring you subject yourself. You are subject. He's king, you are subject. You know, there are kings in a kingdom. There's king, there's subject, and there are boundaries. That's the kingdom. So you are subject. They call it citizen in civil life. Spiritually, you are subject. Yeah. Subject. King of all children of pride. The person who rules in the life of proud people. That's why proud people don't do many good things. When you are proud, you divorce. When you are proud, you lose your job. When you are proud, you walk away from your mother. For example, you're a child. I can't wait to live here. It's too. She tells me to do. She's spoiling my life. I'm 18. I don't know who brought that stupid number. I'm 18. So before you were 18, so when you are 36, what will we do? You would have left three times. You leave your job at 18, you leave your house at 18, your job at 24, your church at 30, your marriage at 36, 35. Right. So how? It will never happen to you in Jesus' name. So how? How to humble ourselves? Number one, how to become humble like a child. How to become humble like a child. Number one, what it means to be humble like a child. So now that we know humility is good, how do we do it ourselves? How to? The first thing is that become like a child, or therefore, what are the things about the child we can learn from and turn about to do? Number one, when you are humble like a child, you quickly forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Last week I told you, up to date, I've never heard, not even once, and it will never happen, that I hear from the children's church, the way they treated me, I don't like it, I'm leaving the church. No child leaves the church. Yeah, to go. I mean, they cry, they fight, and then they are back again. They are enjoying. But you, one person speaks to you one way, that's it. I will not join this meeting again. I'm done with this. I'm out of here. It's a sign of pride. Unforgiveness is a sign of pride. Do you know what it means for you to forgive somebody? It means the person legitimately, let me not use the word legit, but rightfully, you are right. The person has offended you, done something. Step on my toe. Step. You see, it's painful. Ouch. And then do it again. Comes again. Does it again. And then I'll give me a slap. Now, all these things are happening. And for me to come and to say that I let you go free, I have to be really humble. If I am proud, then he does not deserve to be let go. No. That's what it means. A slap back is what he deserves. A stamp is, you don't just step, you stamp. That is real, we call it real life, but that's proud life. And forgiveness is such a great thing. I mean, forgiveness is such a great thing. The Bible actually, even in this verse 18, chapter 18 of Matthew, it talks about the unforgiving servant who was forgiven for owing 10,000 units of something. But his friend owed him 100. And he said, no, he's not going to let go. And he put the friend in prison. And the master heard about it. Came and said, hey, you, I forgave you for 10,000, or is it even 100,000? I forgave you. And you tell me you pay me, I let you go. Now this guy has only 100 owing you. And you put him in prison. And you are very wicked. And he put him in a place for the tormentors. Master was very angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, if the Lord will mark our iniquities, who will stand? Anytime that you're about to walk in unforgiveness, bitterness, grudges, look at yourself. You deserve. Look, you owe a lot. Yeah. And children, you will spank them. You will scream at them. You still come, mommy. You come, mommy. Many of us are bitter because we are not children enough to be humble and forgiven. And forgive quickly. Listen, unforgiveness is not helpful to you. Unforgiveness, even medically, it makes your heart rate go up, your blood pressure go up, you get migraines, ulcers, hypertension, heart attacks, strokes. Why enjoy? That's because now, out of pride, you can't forgive. So the king of all prideful people is operating, and he comes with all these evils. Let's become humble like children. Forgiven. Think about it. Think about three people that you don't really relate well with. Because Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the merciful. One of the beatitudes are attitudes that you have that bring you some blessings. In this case, the beatitude is mercy. You shall obtain mercy. Matthew 5, 7. The blessing for you to be merciful. If that attitude is not there, you don't deserve mercy and you won't get mercy. I'm not saying it. Again, it's Jesus. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Some of us have too many people we don't talk to. You're quiet on. You won't relate with. Let go. You're not perfect. Did you know that you're not perfect? You owe God a lot. Some of the unforgiveness is the reason why things are being held in the realm of the spirit. Tell somebody, become a child and let go. Number two, when you're humble like a child, you sit quietly and can listen to instructions, teachings, advice, everything, including rebukes. When you are humble like a child. So in other words, for me to become humble like a child, let me learn the virtue of a child. And children, they sit down. She sit down. She sit down. Whether she was sitting in front or the right way, sit down. She sat down. Bring the water. She brought the water. Let you come. She came. They can sit down and listen to teaching, to instruction, to rebukes, to counselings, and not be reactionary. But proud people, you can't tell them anything. In fact, it's also bordering on people you can't tell anything. They're also not wise. Bible says a wise man will heed to counsel, hear counsel, instruction, and increase learning. It's true. It's a hard statement, but it's true. It's true. You know, and the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says it's better. Better is a wise child than a fully old and a foolish king who can no longer be admonished, be instructed, be advised, be counseled. That's what better is a poor and wise. Don't make youth. It says child in King James. Yeah, wise child than an old and foolish king. You may be a king, but you may be a fool. You may be old, but you're an old fool. So when somebody says that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks, it's the devil's way of rephrasing pride. He's calling the proud an old dog, and you've taken it. You cannot teach, and it's true, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Anybody, that's the next thing. A little child can learn new things. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. When somebody's old and is a king, I mean, some kings that I know, or presidents, they can't take advice. Jay, put your phone down. It won't work. It won't work. It won't work. Yeah. Somebody. Anybody that when you are spoken to, a child. Look, children, the reason why they grow fast, they learn fast, they know, it is known statistically, data shows clearly with numbers that in the first 3 years of a child's life, they learn far more than they will ever learn in life. Wow. Just the first 3 years. Wow. First 3 years or 4 years, one of them. The amount of learning, because of their humility, they can learn new things. Language is done fast. Yes. When they come, within 2 years, they can speak languages. I mean, languages that you adult can't. And it's because they are humble. They don't mind making mistakes. They don't mind being corrected. They don't mind going to school every day and coming home to do homework and learning from their parents. No, you don't say, da-da. You say, daddy. And they say, okay, daddy. You know, that's it. Yeah. A little, when you are humble and teach, when you are teachable, you have more grace. Hallelujah. More grace. Hallelujah. Because of humility. Anybody who is teachable, you learn new things. Yeah. When I came to my job, I academically was on top in terms, because I had just come from school. But the person who owns the business, on the other hand, no. I practiced, had experience. I felt that I can learn a lot. And I just sat and learned and learned and learned by experience. Today, by the grace of God, when people come there, instead of he teaching them, say, no, let Dr. Nancy teach you. Yeah. Yeah. The other time I heard him saying something fantastic. And, oh, you know, I mean, he couldn't do something. He could call him. He couldn't do it. He said, call Dr. Nancy to come and help me to go around this bend. And then I went there, and fortunately, unfortunately, I was able to cross where he couldn't cross. Then when he finished, he came and told me, man, I think there's something with your hands. You're very good. I said, oh, I learned from the best, and I learned from you. Wow. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Wow. That's all. That's all. Me, I should let all the people. See, that was the foolishness of the girls who sang, David has killed, Saul has killed his thousand, David is 10,000s. When David fought Goliath and won. Yeah. And some of the comments, they will bring fights. Don't accept pride on a silver platter because it was served you. He was serving me pride. I refused it. I deflected it back to him. Yeah. Listen, heed to counsel, no matter who you are. Especially when you have gray hair in your armpit. Because that's the people that are the old. But sometimes old is foolish. There's a scripture in the Bible in Job chapter 32. Find verse 8. He said, Job chapter 32 and verse 8. Listen carefully. Children, Bible says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of Almighty giveth them understanding. Then verse 9. Great men are not always wise, neither are the aged always who understand judgment. Yeah. You're old doesn't mean you're wise, necessarily. Or aged doesn't mean you have understanding. Yeah. Sometimes a child can teach you. One day I was walking behind, it was a lecture. One of my lecturer told me, said he was walking behind a window and had an argument between two little boys. School and money, which is better? School and money, which is better? School, and they said school. Somebody said money, school, money, school, money. And then this professor just stood and said he couldn't answer too, because he was here and there. He said he heard the wisest answer from the smaller of the two. He said, when you are young, school is better. When you grow old, money is better. Wow. Clap for the Lord Jesus. From a little child. I learned that from a little child. Amen. Tell somebody, if you cannot be advised, grace will not come to you. And so, you know, all the children. One day, somebody came from college and told me that I'm so sad that I didn't take the advice you gave me when I went. Because of that, the person is starting college all over again. Wiped out scholarship. Yeah, and told me, everything you said is true. If I had lived my life, I would do it. Why do you have to go through that? Just take advice. The reason why children do well is that they are told, they are given where to go to school, which school to, which uniform to wear, how to wear it, what food to eat. They don't go to, well, sometimes when you go to a restaurant and you're ordering food, you're even confused. By the time they come, you even order the wrong thing because of choices. But children, you tell them what to do and they eat it and they grow well. They grow more. They grow. It's called grace. Grace. Because they can be told what to do. So all our experience of 50 years, it brought to bear on the decision of a three-year-old. And he benefits from the 50-year-old experience, although he's at three. Why do you want to experience it? You will experience the school of hard knocks if you cannot be humble enough to take. Clap for the bite. It will not happen to you. Number three. Ooh, I have 5 minutes. Number three, when you are humble like a child, I say you can learn new things. Good. Number four. When you are humble like a child, you can copy things easily. It's in the same direction. I mean, you can copy things. How did you do it? You see somebody whose marriage is working and you always have quarrels. You should ask the person, how did you do it? I was with my older brother, a half brother. When school, he could not do his exercise. He came. He just copied everything that he passed. He passed. How do you do it? I do it this way. He just got it. Children, One of the books is my first copy book. They just copy. Some of us, our handwriting is so bad, we should go back to my first copy book. And if we can do that, our handwritings will improve. But we won't do it because of pride. The marriage is on fire every day. You see somebody, they are walking warmly every day. They talk nicely. Well, you see, I wish I could speak like that. I wish I could do. If you are humble, you go, man, come on. There's fire in my house. How do you do it, man? Tell somebody, how do you do it? Step one, step two, step three. Okay, I'm going to try it. I'll come again. If only you can do that, you'll do well. You are not humble. Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Bible says, don't be lazy or slothful, but be ye followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises they have already achieved. The Bible says, let him that is going to war not boast, but him that has gone to war and come and has removed his armor. Why can't you copy? You want to start a church? Somebody has done it. Copy it. You've come in here to settle in Memphis. Somebody has done what you... Ask how... We've been living here for 35 years. Just ask, how do you do it? You're going to college. Somebody has gone to college and has become a nursing director. How come you can't listen to what the person is saying? You can't copy it. You are studying, you are not passing, and somebody gives you a study strategy. Copy and paste. Simple as that. Why do you want to reinvent the wheel? There's nothing new under the sun. Did you know that? What has been is what shall be. What has been is what shall be. What has worked will work. That's why we study history. We call it history. It's called his story, not his glory. You like his glory, but you don't want to go back to copy his story. Because you're not a child. Our children, it is our story that we are revealing, removing the mistakes and applying the good parts. And that's why I promise and I prophesy all our children will be better than us. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And you can be better than your previous 35 years of nonsense. If only you can become a child now. Humble. Yeah. Your next 35 years will be beautiful. If you are 35 years, not you I'm talking. It's just my favorite number. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And finally, when you are humble like a child, you are not conscious of people's nationalities, people's wealth, people's age, and all these people's color. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? If thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? It's a must know. Who maketh thee to differ from another? So you're Ghanaian. So what? So what? This is an international church. You're Ghanaian, so what? You're Kenyan, so what? What is Ghana? What is Kenya? Bible says in the kingdom, there is neither Greek nor Jew, born nor free, barbarians or Christians or whatever, but we are all one in Christ. Yeah. Let the differences play out, but don't be the emphasizer of differences. Children, no matter whether their parent is this president or rich or poor, they play together. They play together. But you, one person told, you know, me one day, but if you, the pastor, you're a doctor, then I can't be in the church. I said, why? I don't use it. I don't apply it. Even some of my church members don't know. One day, some church member that had been here for 1 year came to my office, and when I was appeared to talk to the person screamed. I said, why? She thought it was a vision. She said, what are you doing here? It's not Sunday. What are you doing here? I said, I work here. Oh, you work here? Pastor, you're also a doctor? Yeah. But you see, you are using it. If this is it, then only. But they're all different nationalities. A child does not know whether this one, he'll poo-poo on you or wee-wee on you. Whoever you are, if you are the president, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. It's not a problem at all. He will sit down, release gas, release vomit, release crying, pull the skirt. But don't pull your skirt. That one is not what I'm talking about. That's dangerous. Okay. Now, so a child, try not. People are so tribalistic, so colorlistic, so agelistic, so nationalistic, so moneylistic, worthlistic. Do you know me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what church I go to? Do you know where I work? Do you know how much I make? You know my GPA? Your GPA nonsense, take it. Go and eat it. GPA is good, ladies and gentlemen. But when you overdo it, Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men, for God is at hand. That means God is there. You can't be greater than him.
Yeah.
Let your moderation be cool. One day somebody went to heaven, and then every time they ask him to give a testimony about what brought him to Christ, he said, oh, I was in a flood and I survived. Everywhere he's preached, he became a pastor, became a bishop, and then finally he died. And then when he died, he went to the heaven's gate. When he got to the heaven's gate, they said, hey, Peter asked him, hey, what are you doing? How did you get here? He said, hey, you know something? Let me tell you, my whole life I've been giving testimony about how the Lord saved me from the flood. And I just want to, first of all, before you even ask me anything, let me introduce the flood to Jesus and to the God. And then Peter said, okay, no problem. And the bishop was going and then came back and said, mind you, Noah is there. No, Noah is also in heaven. So if you didn't get it, then clap for the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together. Let's rise to our feet. You are talking about how the Lord delivered you from a flood. Noah, 40 days and nights flood. And you are coming. Your testimony is too small. Tell someone your testimony is too small. Yeah. Tell somebody, try and condescend to men of low estate. Humble yourself. For God, he gives grace to the humble. I see you having grace. I see the grace of God appearing. I see the Lord exalting you. I see your promotion coming. I see you forgiving like a child. I see you not emphasizing my color, my height, my this and my that. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together. Close your eyes with me. If you are here, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You want to be born again. You want to make it. You want to tell Jesus, who invites and holds children, that I'm a child. I can give my life to you. I can surrender my life to you. Yeah. I am humble enough to say I need your help. Children need help and they ask for help and they get it. That's grace. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you don't want to die and go to hell. You want to live this life with the help of Jesus. Then lift up your right hand. It's a short prayer. I'll pray with you. Lift up just your right hand. Wherever you're standing, I'll pray with you. Just your right hand. Don't worry about who's standing. I see you. I'm just going to pray for you wherever you are, so that you receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, into your heart. Lift up your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Now, let's all say this. Almighty Father, I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus died for me and God raised him from the dead. By this faith, I am born again. I am a child of God. Please write my name in the book of life and fill me with your Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.
I love to stand and rejoice. Lift my hands and raise my voice.
We believe the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Be blessed.
Singing praise, I love to stand there.